exit out this door and take a right and go down the stairs to the right there. If that way is blocked, take a left, go around past the elevator, and go down those stairs. Please do not use the elevator if there is an emergency. Also, if anyone would like to make a public comment tonight, we have our forms are at the table by the door. You may fill one of those out and hand them to our city clerk, Julie English. At this time, we will rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This evening, we have Pastor Greg Carlson from the Park Seventh-day Adventist Church who will provide us with an invocation. Pastor.
Thank you. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to and a blessing of living in a free country where we can gather and conduct the business that benefits the public. And Lord, we pray that tonight your wisdom would be in this room, and that the decisions and the plans that are made will better the community. Lord, bless each member of this board and the city staff that supports them. We ask a special blessing tonight for the family and loved ones of the young man who recently lost his life on our streets. And Lord, we pray that our city would be a safer place for our young people. Be with us now as we go through this meeting, and may all the decisions be made fairly and equitably and with deep concern for all those in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next, we have a proclamation. This will be City Administrator Andy Kitzrow.
Yeah, this is always a fun one to be able to do, but I'm going to ask some people to come join me up here. Lieutenant, you and your wife would like to join me up here, and Howie, if you'd like to join up, or you take just the pictures. All right, there we go. So you'd like to stand right here. So I'm going to read this proclamation. Whereas the city of Salisbury, Maryland, with great admiration and respect, honors Lieutenant Richard A. Kaiser on the occasion of his retirement after distinguished 26 years of dedicated law enforcement service as a respected member of Salisbury City Police Department, and it is appropriate to acknowledge this outstanding career of achievement. And whereas Richard A. Kaiser's story began in Syracuse, New York in 1974, where he was born and went to graduate from Liverpool High School in 1992, and whereas Rich's sense of responsibility and service to others led him to pursue a criminal justice degree at Onondaga Community College, where he received an Associate's of Science degree in 1994 and a Bachelor's of Science in Public Justice at State University of New York at Oswego in 1996. And whereas Rich began his law enforcement career with the City of Salisbury Police Department in January 18, 1997, and whereas during his career he served with the Operations and Criminal Investigation Division, rising through the ranks, most recently served as a police lieutenant, where he mentored and developed less experienced officers and supervisors in accordance with Salisbury City Police Department and missions. And whereas Rich has earned positions as a commander of the Criminal Investigation Division, a member of the Police Department's Tactical Unit and Community Action Team, and as the department's Accreditation Manager and Canine Program Manager. And whereas Rich will always be remembered for his meticulous approach and all that he does, the reliability and dedication of service to his citizens in Salisbury and his fellow employees. And whereas Rich took an oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and the oath he never broke. And whereas Rich has kept the faith with the public, so he honorably served for 26 years. And whereas Lieutenant Kaiser is commended for earning 3 Exceptional Duty Awards, an Education Award, 3 Commendations, 5 Unit Citations, 1 Life Saving Award, 5 Certificates of Appreciation, and numerous letters of appreciation during his career with the City of Salisbury Police Department. And whereas his outstanding devotion, expertise, and service to the City of Salisbury Police Department and the City of Salisbury community will be sorely missed upon his retirement on June 25th, 2023. Now, therefore, it be I, Andy Kitzrow, on behalf of Jack Heath, acting mayor of the City of Salisbury, do hereby proclaim June 25th, 2023 as Richard A. Kaiser Day. And this is in the recognition of the 26 years of service that you have served. So I really appreciate everything you've done. I know we want to do a picture here, but we also have this microphone here, and I know you don't shy away from an opportunity to speak, but you're more than welcome to say something. So Howie, why don't we take a quick, snap a quick picture up here? If you have to join us too.
Oh, sure.
Like to say anything?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to thank all of the members of the police department, as well as the community members throughout this entire area, for the time that I've had within your community for the last 26 years. It definitely was good for me, good for my family, and my two boys as they grew up, both of which were born in this area. But I'd like to really thank everybody I worked with throughout that entire time, supervisors, co-workers, subordinates, the city council as it continued to change over the 26 years, and the entire administration within the city. You know, thank you. And luckily I'll be able to stay local and hopefully contribute to the law enforcement and criminal justice careers within Wicomico County. Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, next I'll entertain a motion and a second to adopt the legislative agenda.
So move.
Second.
Questions or comments on the agenda? Hearing none.
None.
Call for the question. All those in favor of approving the legislative agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
I remembered my specs this time. Good evening, Council. On the consent agenda this evening, we have minutes to approve. They are April 18th, 2023 budget work session minutes, April 20th, 2023 budget work session minutes, May 1st, 2023 work session minutes and special meeting minutes. And then we also have resolution number 3264 to approve the appointment of Hemalatha Baskaran to the Zoo Commission for the term ending June 2026. And lastly, resolution number 3265 to approve the appointment of Suzanne Peterson to the Human Rights Advisory Committee for the term ending June 2025.
Questions or comments?
None.
Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of approving the consent agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. Is Hemalatha here on Zoom? No. Suzanne Peterson, you could stand up for a second. Thank you for serving on the Human Rights Advisory Committee. We appreciate anyone who volunteers their time, because it does take some personal time to be a part of these, and we appreciate your service, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, next item on the agenda is going to be a motion to approve the award of bids.
So move.
Second.
Is that Megan?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Mr. Hello, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Good evening, everyone. So on the award of bids this evening, there are three contracts, and then I have some items for declaration of surplus. So I'll start with the contract awards. The Department of Procurement seeks award of bid approval from the City Council for solicitations as defined herein. The city follows required bidding practices as defined by the Salisbury Code of Ordinances and publicly posted the solicitations on the City of Salisbury's procurement portal and the State of Maryland's website, eMaryland Marketplace Advantage. The first item in the packet is ITB 24-103. This is the Salisbury Fire Department Rescue Truck. The specification for this truck is this Pierce four-door, full-tilt aluminum cab, single-axle, formed aluminum body, walk-in HDR. It is priced through the cooperatives of the Houston-Galveston area, HDAC Buy, Contract FS 12-19, Fire Service Apparatus. The participating contractor is Atlantic Emergency Solutions, and the contract effective dates are December 1st, 2019 through November 30th, 2023. And the contract pricing was derived from the February 2023 Atlantic Emergency Solutions quarterly update. Total cost of the truck, $1,624,885. It is funded in the GL account notated in the packet. And the City of Salisbury has established an interlocal contract with HGAC by cooperative purchasing programs, which sets out the conditions and requirements and processes for the procurement. The departmental memo and the HGAC worksheet provide further details. The next item I have is contract number ITB A-23-102. The streetlight and traffic signal maintenance service support. This is solicited for the Department of Infrastructure and Development. The scope of work is to provide the labor, equipment, and materials necessary to install, repair, or modify traffic signal infrastructure. Bids were released on April 21st, 2023. We held the bid opening on May 24th, 2023. Had a total of one responsible bidder. The lowest responsive bidder recommended for award is Rommel Infrastructure Incorporated. They're based out of Lithicum, Maryland, but have local offices and local shops. The cost estimate that they intend to spend on this contract per year can range from $50,000 to $100,000, depending on need. And those repairs will be paid for out of the GL account noted in the packet. This contract is an award for an indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity style contract that sets the contract rates, but does not imply any minimum purchase. The contract includes a renewal clause, so the initial term of the contract is one calendar year with the potential of two one-year renewals. And the last item I have for award of bids is RFP 23-108, the comprehensive plan updates. This was also solicited for the Department of Infrastructure and Development. The scope of work for this contract is to develop a new long-range comprehensive plan that provides a framework and policy context to guide decisions related to urban land use and future development. The proposal was posted on April 5th, 2023. We opened proposals on May 11th, 2023. We had a total of three proposals. And the firms are listed in your packet in the various summary of scores. The highest ranked responsive and responsible vendor recommended for award is Mead and Hunt. And their total cost for this engagement is $160,000, which is funded in the GL accounts notated in your packet.
So, Paul, is there? Does anybody have any questions on any of the items in the contract for bids?
None.
The only question I have on the fire rescue truck, is there a timeline on when that will be delivered?
Yeah, it's about a 30-month lead time.
Okay.
And if we don't get our order in by the 21st, there's a roughly, I've heard wind of a $300,000 increase on pricing.
That's what happened years ago when we bought two. They were $700,000 apiece, and we were told if we didn't get them the following year, they're going to be $1.5 million.
Right.
So I'm sure every year, everything.
Yeah, they do a quarterly price refresh, so we're right on that tail end of that window.
Okay. All right, thank you. I don't have any further questions. Let me see the, except for the only other question on the comprehensive plan, once been approved, how long do we anticipate for completing that?
So I think the contract was a 280 calendar day from NTP, but I'll verify that. And I believe that's ringing a bell to me, 280 calendar days.
Thank you. All right, next items.
So the next items are declarations of surplus. And bear with me here. So the first item I'm not sure how it's listed in your packets, but I have some from the police department.
Duty weapons first.
We have duty weapons.
Duty weapons.
Mm-hmm. And some retirement gifts. That's what they were marked as.
So the duty weapons for the police department would be retirement as the typical procedure with them for Kaiser, Duncan, and I don't have the third.
Tyler. Lieutenant Tyler.
Tyler, Kaiser, and Duncan.
Yeah. And then the second item for surplus is for the fire department. So we have three vehicles being surplused at the fire department. There's a Pierce truck, an old brush truck, and an old Crown Vic, and then turnout gear, which has an expiration date. So that's why that's being surplused.
Questions or comments from the council? Has there been any consideration with the surplusing of the vehicles to possibly consider donating them to vehicles for change?
So I wouldn't have those conversations. Our standard procedure when they go through surplus here is to auction them and receive market value. I do believe that the administration has had some conversation with them.
I think with these vehicles specifically, the plan is to receive funding through auction to then outfit some additional vehicles that are in the budget this upcoming year. So,
thank you.
Did you want a fire engine or truck?
I'm good. Yeah. But thanks for the offer. Okay, with that, I'll call for the, if there's not any other questions on the award of bids and surplus items. All those in favor of approving the award of bids and surplus items, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the chair votes aye.
Thank you,
Mr. Lowe. We'll give your evaluation to Jennifer next week.
Thank you.
The performers tonight. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, next up, I'll entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2811 for first reading.
So move.
Second. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Ordinance number 2811, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury approving a budget amendment of the FY 2023 forfeited funds fund budget to appropriate funds to purchase a customizable and expandable storage system for the Salisbury Police Department. Whereas the City of Salisbury maintains an account in its general fund in which it deposits money seized by the Salisbury Police Department and later forfeited to the city in related court proceedings referred to as forfeited funds. And whereas the Salisbury Police Department desires to utilize forfeited funds to purchase a customizable and expandable storage system for the SBD property room in order to meet the recommendation of a third-party inventory audit recently conducted on behalf of SBD property room. And whereas the funds necessary to make this purchase in the amount of $59,660 are available in forfeited funds account. Section 1 of Ordinance Number 2811 reads, the City of Salisbury's forfeited fund budget be and hereby is amended as follows. A, increase the current year surplus account 10200-469810 by $59,660, and B, increase the equipment maintenance account number 21022-577030 by that same amount, which is $59,660.
Questions or comments from the council?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of approving ordinance number 2811 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. I'll entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2812 for first reading.
So move.
Second.
Ordinance number 2812, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury to amend Chapter 2.16 of the Salisbury City Code entitled Fire Department for granting the authority to enforce all laws and ordinances of the City of Salisbury and State of Maryland pertaining to fire, to implement fire safety programs, and to issue permits and licenses to the City Fire Marshal. Whereas the ongoing application, administration, and enforcement of the City of Salisbury Code demonstrates its need for periodic review, evaluation, and amendment. And whereas the City of Salisbury desires to grant the responsibility to enforce all city and state laws pertaining to fire and fire prevention to the City Fire Marshal. And whereas the City of Salisbury desires to grant the responsibility to implement fire and safety programs within the city to minimize fire hazard and disasters and loss of life and property from these causes to the Fire Marshal. And whereas the City of Salisbury desires to grant the responsibility to issue various permits and licenses as required by the City Fire Prevention Code to the Fire Marshal. Section 1 of Ordinance Number 2812 reads as follows. Chapter 2.16, Section .020H of the Salisbury City Code entitled Fire Department be and hereby is amended by repealing the crossed out language and adding the bulleted language and underlined language as follows. Those changes are highlighted in the agenda packet. So what I'm going to do for the record is just to read what will be changed to the new language, okay? So I will direct your attention starting to line 31. H1 will be added as enforce all laws of the State of Maryland and ordinances of the City of Salisbury pertaining to the prevention of fire, the installation and maintenance of equipment of all sorts intended for fire control, detection, and extinguishment, the means and adequacy of exits in case of fire from buildings and all other places in which people work, live, or congregate from time to time for any purpose except buildings used wholly as a dwelling house containing no more than two dwelling units, and the investigation of the origin, cause, and circumstances of fire and explosion or the attempt to cause fire or explosion. 2, implement fire safety programs within the city to minimize fire hazards and disasters and loss of life and property from these causes, including A, the establishment and enforcement of fire safety practices throughout the city. B, prevention, inspection, and correction activities. C, coordination of fire safety programs with other fire department personnel and other city departments exercising enforcement aspects. And D, critical analysis and evaluation of city fire law statistics to determine problems and solutions. 3, issue permits and license as required by Chapter 8.11 of this code. And 4, keep accurate records of all fire responses of the fire department.
Any questions or comments from the council?
No.
All right, hearing none, I will call for the question. All those in favor of approving ordinance number 2812 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. Okay, I will entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2813 for first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Ordinance number 2813, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury to amend Chapter 8.11 of the Salisbury City Code entitled the Fire Prevention Code, granting the authority to issue permits for the installation, modification, or removal from service of any private fire service water mains and their appurtenances, and prescribing penalties for the specific violations. Whereas the ongoing application, administration, and enforcement of the City of Salisbury Code demonstrates a need for periodic review, evaluation, and amendment. And whereas the fire department, whereas the City of Salisbury has adopted the Fire Prevention Code of the state subject to local amendments, and whereas pursuant to that code, the City of Salisbury desires to grant the authority to issue permits for the installation, modification, or removal from service of any private fire service water mains or the appurtenances to the fire marshal, and whereas the City of Salisbury desires to prescribe penalties for specific violations of the Fire Prevention Code. Section 1 of Ordinance Number 2813 reads as follows. Chapter 8.11 of the Salisbury City Code entitled the Fire Prevention Code, Section 811.020(6)(b) and hereby is amended by repealing the crossed out language and adding the bolded and underlined language as follows. And again, that section is in its entirety here in the agenda. So what I'm going to do is read the new language that will be added to this particular section. So I'm calling your attention to line 38, where we are adding language, service mains and their appurtenances in accordance with NFPA 24. I, no permit is required for mains and their appurtenances under the control of a water utility. B, mains and their appurtenances of providing fire protection and or domestic water that are privately owned but are not operated as a water utility. C, underground mains serving sprinkler systems designed and installed in accordance with NFPA 13R that are less than 4 inches in nominal diameter, or D, underground mains serving sprinkler systems designed and installed in accordance with NFPA 13D. Little two, this permit does not include the connection from the street main to a point in the public sidewalk area covered by Title 13, Chapter 13.08, Section 13.08050 of this code. Section 2 reads, Chapter 8.11 of the Salisbury City Code entitled the Fire Prevention Code be and hereby is amended by adding the bolded and underlined language as follows. We are adding on line 58 an entire new section entitled 8.11070, violations and penalties for specific violations, operating and assembly occupancy while overcrowded beyond the posted occupant load. A, first offense, any owner, manager, employee, corporation, firm, partnership, association, organization operating an assembly occupancy while overcrowded shall be guilty of a municipal infraction and shall be subject to a fine of $500. B, second and subsequent offenses within 1,095 days of a like offense, any owner, manager, employee, corporation, firm, partnership, association, organization operating as assembly occupancy while overcrowded shall be guilty of a misdemeanor and upon conviction thereof shall be subject to a fine of $1,000 or imprisonment for not more than 90 days or both.
Any comments?
No.
Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of approving ordinance number 2813 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. Entertain a motion to approve ordinance number 2814 for first reading.
Move.
Second.
Megan.
You don't have to.
Ordinance number 2814, an ordinance of the City of Salisbury amending section 17.76.020A of the Salisbury City Code to add service, rental, and repair establishments to the category of uses permitted in the Light Industrial Zoning District. Whereas the ongoing application, administration, and enforcement of Title 17 governing zoning of the City Code demonstrates a need for a periodic review, evaluation, and amendment in order to keep the provisions of Title 17 current, comply with present community standards and values, and to promote the public safety, health, and welfare of the citizens of the city. Whereas Mayor and Council of the City of Salisbury are authorized by Maryland Code Local Government Article Section 5-202 to adopt such ordinances not contrary to the Constitution of Maryland, public general law, or public local laws, as Mayor and Council deem necessary to assure the good government of the municipality, to preserve peace and order, to secure persons and property from damage and destruction, and to protect the health, comfort, and convenience of the citizens of the city. Whereas Mayor and Council may amend Title 17, Governing Zoning of the City Code pursuant to the authority granted by Maryland Code Land Use, Section 4-102, subject to the provisions set forth in Section 17.228.020. Whereas the uses permitted in the Light Industrial Zoning District currently include a myriad of uses, including manufacturing, laboratory, warehousing, services, and offices, the inclusion of service, rental, or repair establishment would provide additional but still substantially similar uses in the Light Industrial Zoning District. Whereas the Mayor and Council find that the health, safety, and general welfare of the citizens of the city will be furthered by amending Section 17.76.020A of the Salisbury City Code to permit service, rental, and repair establishments in the Light Industrial Zoning District. Whereas pursuant to Section 17.228.020 of the Salisbury City Code, any amendments to the Salisbury City Zoning Code requires the recommendation of the Salisbury Planning and Zoning Commission prior to the passage of an ordinance amending Chapter 17.76. Whereas a public hearing on the proposed amendment was held by the Planning Commission in accordance with the provisions of Section 17.228.020 of the Salisbury City Code on March the 16th of 2023, whereas at the conclusion of its March 16th, 2023 meeting, the Planning Commission recommended by a vote of 5-0 that the amendments to Section 17.76020A of the Salisbury City Code set forth herein be approved by Mayor and Council, and whereas Mayor and Council have determined that the amendments of Section 17.76020A of the Salisbury City Code shall be adopted as set forth herein. Ordinance number 2814, Section 1 reads that Section 17.76020A of the Salisbury City Code entitled Permitted Uses shall be amended as followed. And again, it is set forth in the agenda. I am only going to read the amendments. So calling your attention to line 94, we are adding number 35, service rental or repair establishments limited to laundry or laundromat, automobile rental, car wash, appliance repair, equipment or instrument repair or rental, dry cleaning, pickup station, pet grooming shop, upholstery shop, tailor, and tattoo parlor.
Any questions or comments from the council?
Just to bring everything up to speed for, you know, up-to-date coding, correct?
Correct, yeah. They had one request for a change, and what they did, they went and looked at similar uses to not have to every time somebody came back for something to go through the Planning Commission and then come to the, so this kind of covers similar businesses. All right, so with that, I'll call for the question. All those in favor of approving ordinance number 2814 for first reading, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the chair votes aye. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, with that, we have concluded our legislative portion of the agenda. We will move into public comments. We do ask with public comments that everyone please keep your comments to 4 minutes. We will have a timer. Simply what I'm going to start doing is get the timer up. When there's 30 seconds left, I'm going to tap the gavel like that, and then at the end of 4 minutes, I'm going to go, and that's the end of the 4 minutes. We will, I think that will kind of help keep it fair and even, and sometimes I like to give people a little more to complete a thought, but going forward, we're going to implement that format. First up to try out the new system is going to be Kay Gibson.
I'm Kay Gibson. I'm a resident of Salisbury. I have a question. I understand you've approved some new apartment buildings to go downtown, and I understand that we need to have a parking garage to accommodate the residents. Who's paying for that parking garage? Is the city? Are we building it? Would you please tell me? Because I honestly don't know. Is the city paying for the new parking garage?
I will pause your, because I think I can answer that question. The way that with the parking authority is a, is its own entity. So it's not a part of the budget. It's not a part of your taxes. It's its own entity. So if we go out and do a bond for a parking garage or a parking lot, the people who use it, who pay the fee, are the ones that pay the bond.
Okay.
That's how that is paid.
It's not going to come back on the taxpayers.
It's not coming back on your taxpayers. It's a separate entity.
At this point, we're concerned about things like that.
Yeah, it's a separate entity.
Okay.
Did I explain that right?
Yeah, it's an enterprise fund, so it's user-based. So the people using the garage, but also just the entire system, if you're paying for the pay stations, the citations, anything that falls into the parking fund, it is a self-sustaining enterprise fund, so correct.
Thank you. The other thing I understand is there's been some talk about the reason we're doing these three projects is to increase our property tax base. Unfortunately, I will be long dead before it happens. The first 5 years, they're not paying property tax, and then over the next 15, they gradually pay more and more. I'm not sure why I, as a citizen, want to pay for the city services that these projects that are for-profit projects are not paying. I'm sure there are other citizens that feel that way. Quite frankly, it may help business downtown, but you're certainly not helping me. You're certainly not helping the hotels that are already here that are having to pay for services. When you go into business, you expect to pay property tax. That's part of your cost. You don't expect other people to cover it for you. I think that's highly unfair to everyone involved. The other thing is, I'm kind of concerned. I'm kind of interested in the historic districts. I'd like to know what other town in the Eastern Shore that's an historic town in their historic business district is putting up something like the Ross Building, that tall, new hotel, and apartments. I'm sure St. Michael's isn't doing it. Easton isn't doing it. Berlin isn't doing it. Snow Hill isn't doing it. So why are we doing it here in Salisbury? I'd like to know if when these buildings and projects are not paying hookup and sewer fees, is that causing the rest of our sewer rates to go up because we're paying for their costs? Or is that, again, a separate entity and it's not affecting the rest of us and expecting us to pay their costs as we water and sewer bills constantly go up? It's not fair to expect the rest of us to cover a for-profit business. That's their expense, not our expense. The other concern I have is about code enforcement. It's not happening. The weeds in the sidewalk in front of the properties that I'm neighbors to on Isabella Street have weeds growing in the sidewalk up to here on me. The same people never mow their yards. Then we have on the corner of Isabella and North Division Street, somebody has put in a line of, I think they're cypress trees along the property line, interfering with the sight that you can't see around the corner. They're now taller than me. They're getting dense. The corner is blocked. You have a code number 17.04.60 that says for on a corner for 35 feet back from that corner, there can be nothing over 2.5 foot tall. Now, trees that are established, that's one thing, but when somebody puts in the screening of trees and blocks the line of sight, why are cords being reinforced? I don't know who's supervising that division. I have a neighbor living in a house that is condemned for 6 different reasons which have not been rectified. But she's allowed to live in the house.
If you have the address for that location, if you want to leave that.
105 okay. East Isabella Street.
Right.
And I've been to the code enforcement 3 times over the building, and it's still She's allowed to live in it and has been living in it. The burning, the fire occurred last September. And the building has not been remediated.
Thank you.
Ms. Gibson.
Next up is Paul, is that Pompin? Pompar? Pompar, okay.
Good evening, my name is Paul Pompar. I'm a resident on Parkway Circle. And I was informed by a neighbor that there was possibly some intention of city council to do something with that triangular block that's right across from about eight of the houses that are on Parkway Circle. I wanted to get a clarification on that, number one. Pause. Do we know anything about that? Are there any future plans? So we recently added two really nice waste disposal units that were really nice. I picked up a lot of the trash myself there, but there was never really that big a problem. I understand somebody dropped off some animal meat or something like that, or something like that. I just wanted, number one, to get a clarification for that. If there was any future use to expand
Monument Park is what they're talking about.
Okay, Monument Park.
If he's talking about the meat incident, I know about that. I don't know of any future developments, but if I can grab your name and contact, I can follow up.
You got it.
Okay,
you, Andy.
I can follow up.
Okay,
with you
so there is none because it has to do with my other comments.
I am not sure or aware of any future development of Monument Park in that area specifically that is crossed.
Well, not
my
Monument
desk.
Park around Parkway Circle. The monument's
okay.
Is neighboring.
I need to look at that. My my team's not here that can verify that. Do you got it? No. Okay. So not of anything yet.
Okay. With that being said, there would be a public notice if there were, right? The other thing I would just say is I want to echo that young lady's comments. The grass that's growing up around Y High and all around my neighborhood, it's a little bit out of control. I'm willing to go around with some Roundup, but I don't want to violate any city ordinances. But I would recommend that if it's in the budget, that people take. And there's it is in no way a criticism of the work that DPW does. They've been very good in handling that park. And I know they're a little bit short-staffed and everything. In fact, I commend their work that they've done. They've been very, very good. But the city streets have, weeds this tall, 3 feet tall, easily, even around Y High and around my area. So I would ask that be taken a look at, if at all possible. And the Civic Center Recycling Center is a nightmare. Every other week when I look at it, there's just people dumping stuff there, despite the warnings in the camera. I mean, I've seen beds, mattresses, all kinds of stuff there. And I'm in favor of you cracking down a little bit, because that's a bloody disgrace. Looks like a third world country out there sometimes. And no criticism again about the people that service it. It's just that every now and then it gets a little out of control.
We'll pass that one on to the county since that is county property.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll save that information for you, Andy. Next up is that Patrice Holly? Patrice?
I don't know.
Okay. Next is Tiffany Moore.
If you see me looking down, it's so I don't forget what I wanted to say. I wrote it down. My name is Tiffany Moore. I have been a business owner in the downtown area for 5 years. I have a salon. And while we are excited about the new downtown expansion and ventures, it is creating some issues for our community. How do we fix or help the owners and workers with the cost of parking in an already inflated economy? I have older clients who have a hard time with parking meters, you know, they're just older, so they have a hard time with my tag number. I'm getting fussed at, you know, just off of a, I don't know how to work this. So you have to take your time out from business to go help them, which I understand is something that has to be done. But as someone who works in the downtown area, I have gotten tickets myself because I put money in the meter, but while I'm working, I've forgotten. You have to remember to go back out. And while this might not be an issue overall, the business owners are continuing to have to pay for parking while we have to remember to go out, fill up our meters. Is there a better solution with maybe giving us parking packages or stickers with a discounted rate, or possibly even some type of yearly subscription for parking? Because even if I were to park in the garage, if I get off late, sometimes I have my children, I don't really feel safe. Sometimes I'm leaving with money. So I don't want to have to walk in the dark to the parking garage. And along with that, I would have to continually go put money back and forth. Sometimes I have my children with me, so I don't feel like that is a safe option. So a lot of us business owners have been talking about, is there another way to help support us since we are in the downtown area? We don't want to move our business because of this issue, but we have work trucks out there. We have, sometimes there are people that are here at the court offices that have run out of parking, and they actually will park in our parking lot that's connected to our business. And I understand that would be an issue for the landlord to make sure that they are checking the parking lot, but it actually is putting a strain on everybody at the current time. So I just wanted to bring that issue here. It's not something like you want to move your business, because that's a lot. I love the downtown area. My customers love it. Like I said, 5 years going, I hope I have five more. But I definitely want to figure out a better option, because even for my older people, having them to park in a parking garage, they're not going to be able to walk over. So just a thought, and I just wanted to bring that to you all's attention. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Andy, I'll
Thank
give you her
yeah,
information.
Yeah, I'm actually going to, in public, in my comments, I'll make a couple updates on parking and where we're at with some things.
Thank you.
Next up is Jeff Dean. Thought I saw him walk in.
Thank you. My name is Jeff Dean. I live on Middle Boulevard. It came to my attention today, so this is all kind of late notice. We have had two recent home sales on our street sold to an organization called Homes for Hope, which are, I have the card here, level two men's recovery housing, residential neighborhood. At my request and invitation, the proprietors are here because I wanted us to be able to have a conversation about this topic. Had a pretty heated conversation today with some neighbors who have very elevated emotions on this topic. Long and short of this is that we have two hitherto residences that have now been converted into men's recovery homes. It sounds like the occupancy in those homes can be significantly higher than a rental property in the same area. Upwards of, sounded like 9 to 10 people per home, possibly, if I'm not misrepresenting that. And the calculation sounded like something like two people per 75 square feet of bedroom space or something along those lines. We discussed with the proprietors some of their processes for background checks, and they mentioned that they don't allow sex offenders, but sounded pretty limited on background checks beyond that. I don't know. I've had some conversations since then and learned a lot about this industry for what 2 hours could bring me, but it sounds like there's an expense to doing background checks at the federal level for out-of-state records. So clients who come in from out-of-state and might carry a criminal record with them apparently are not being criminal background checked. So we have a high density of out-of-state people coming in for treatment for recovery without being background checked. So I don't know what that is. I have talked to some people that I trust on this topic since then who have told me that this began in 2017 with some houses in Newtown, and that the city has addressed, and the state apparently has addressed, attempts to create ordinances to limit the number of recovery houses unsuccessfully because of ADA ADA compliance. My reason for being here, I think my only goal, well, I have two goals. As I've said today, hopefully my portion of this conversation is remain civil. I remain civil now. And I want to be very clear, I have no problem with the people in the recovery house themselves. I have no problem with the idea of recovery. Unregulated or relatively lowly limited regulation on these seems problematic in this sense. The information we got from the seller of the house was that these folks paid $350,000 cash. They've told us that is not entirely true. But the seller of the house is basically $350,000 cash for a house that is not worth $350,000. And so that tells me there's a lot of money flowing around. We asked today, is there any limit on the density of how many houses can be turned into recovery houses in our neighborhood? The answer we've received from four or five sources is no, that every house in the street could be turned into a recovery house. This group has said from a business perspective, they are not interested in turning any more houses into recovery houses, but other groups could certainly do so. My concern is that landlords in the area might realize that they could turn their $1,500 in rent from their 4 to 2 college tenants into $6,000 a month if they call themselves a recovery house. I am pretty openly going to challenge this group on financial grounds. So I would like the city to be aware. My understanding is that the city has some purview over this in the sense of its inspection process, so that the number of people who can be put in the house are limited by things like fire regulations, safety codes, and so on. With 10 more seconds, what I would like to add is that Salisbury consider the merits of the Ross building, large building like this, actually being recovery centers, recovering housing instead. Sounds highly profitable. If it's good for the neighborhoods, it's good for the whole city. I say fill up 15 stories with recovering addicts. They're walking distance to Suboxone clinics, to the hospital, to treatment facilities. I think it'd be a much better use of downtown than the neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dean.
Thank you.
And last we have Lynn Braddon. Just so you know, because you missed it.
I heard it. I was zooming in as I drove.
Okay.
First of all, Lynn Braddon. I live in the neighborhood of Camden. I'm one block over from where the gentleman just spoke, and I am aware of that situation, so I echo his concerns. And I know that density is an issue, and I also know that putting 10 people, 8 people, 7 people in a home with one bathroom, maybe 1.5 bathrooms, is going to be problematic, and I hope that's a zoning issue or at least a housing issue that we can address. I don't know parking, how that's going to wash out, but there's limited parking on that street, and that could also become problematic. We're close to Salisbury University, and parking has always been an issue down in that neighborhood. My other concern today is the stoplight. I know that we had several members on the council who expressed a concern for the South Boulevard and Camden Avenue light. I know that there was a comment that said that they would certainly look into it. It should be brought back. I know it is still on blink. I know that the red stop signs have now been permanently placed in the sidewalk. They no longer have sandbags on them. I'm thankful that they don't have the blinking lights. I am glad that the stoplights with blinking lights didn't seem to appear. I know that the little speed camera speedy thing sign is still up. I'm also still trying to figure out what I read in my request for work orders. I'm looking through that because it looks like there were never any work. The work orders didn't show, from what I've tertiarily read, why it was ever turned off in the first place, because it was not broken, and that's been admitted at City Council also, that there was no emergent five light issue, and that some of the reports about different reporting from Corps of Engineers and all was a more standardized issue and a report, not something done specifically at that intersection. So I would appreciate knowing where that stands, and hopefully it won't just disappear and die in the weeds. I also would like to know where Mayor Jack Heath's request to perhaps bring back the traffic commission stands. I thought that was a really positive suggestion that he made. There are lots of humps, bumps, dips, and circles that I think a lot of people would like to have been part of, maybe the commentary on the value of the narrowness eliminating right-hand turn signals, wide girths that don't seem to make sense places. And we wonder, many of us, what's happening with Eastern Shore Drive. Is that going to be the next one to have things happening to it? Just kind of overnight. I mean, the stoplight just was an overnight decision, and I still can't figure out why, who directed it, who's under whose signature that happened, and where that came from. So it was, it became a problem that I think should have never been a problem. So with that, you didn't even have to tap your gavel on me. I say good evening to everybody, and thank you for letting me have a few minutes.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Ms.
Thank you. Next,
can we comment by Zoom?
Sure, Bob.
Yeah. Am I up?
Here.
Yep.
Yes,
okay.
Bob.
Robert Taylor, 50-year Salisbury resident and taxpayer. I won't go into the weeds on that, but I want to make a couple comments. First, I'll pick up on what the first speaker, Kay Gibson, said, her first item, which was about the downtown apartments on the three parking lots, 1, 11, and 15. If you'll remember back on June 20, when you all approved the sale of those lots, some speakers were concerned about how that would dovetail or fit into the so-called downtown master plan. As you may or may not know, we looked for that plan on the city website before the meeting and were unable to find it. Now, that doesn't mean it wasn't there. We may have been incompetent in that regard, but several people looked, some of them probably more competent than I. We couldn't find it. However, we have. And I would point out that under that master plan, I'm talking about Envision Salisbury, there are two of the lots that would be 11 and 15 are not scheduled for apartment development. Lot 15 is scheduled to remain more or less like it is, just a ground level parking lot. Lot 11 was going to be a parking garage under the original Envision Salisbury master plan. And I believe that was what it was scheduled for when you did the deal that didn't go through with DevReco back in 2015 for lots 1 and 11, didn't include 15 at that time. So a few questions. When the council approved this on June 20, was the council aware that under the master plan that I believe the mayor and Mr. Kitzrow said multiple times, oh, we're doing just like the master plan, that it's not the proposal from Salisbury Town Center Apartments LLC, not DevReco, I point out, is not at all like the 2015 deal, and nor is it like the downtown master plan. Did you all know that? I know you can't answer questions, or you normally don't, at work sessions, but I think that's a very pertinent question. Now, kind of moving on to some other things, changing the subject here. Over the last few months, we've heard a lot about the fire service agreement between the city and the county. Among other things, how much the county was going to pay and how much the city wanted them to pay. As I recall, the most recent data shows about $1 million difference in what the county is willing to pay and what the city wants them to pay. Originally, I think the mayor wanted something like $5 million, but that, I think, quickly went out the window. So several questions on that. Where do we stand? The original parking agreement, fire service agreement that was negotiated some years ago, I believe the original expiration date on that was a year ago, July, but it was extended for another year through this July. What's happened? Is the county going to continue to provide, other way around, is the city going to continue to provide services in that district outside of the city, which includes a good bit of the east side of the county? What's going to happen there? The people want to know that. Also, what's going to happen with the payment? I think it's roughly $2 million that's in the city's budget that they expect to get from the county. The county says they're only going to pay about $1 million. What's going to happen there? These are the things I think that we need to know. Another item, and I'll try to be real quick on this.
All right, Bob, several that was 4 minutes.
Several meetings ago, a member of the council suggested revisiting, in a general sense, the Horizon program. That's a 20-year tax waiver for downtown, large-scale downtown development. When is that going to happen? Number of questions. I know you don't answer them normally, but I think there are things that you need to consider and get out to the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Any other comments online?
I don't believe we have anybody else who's signed up.
All right.
Anybody else? Okay.
Okay. At this time, I'll turn it over to the administration, Mr. Kitzrow, for administration comments.
Sure. I will answer a couple of Bob's, Robert Taylor's questions. The fire service agreement for FY24, we have agreeable terms with the county. We do not have a signed document. So until we have a signed document, it is not something I like to discuss publicly. But the terms are favorable to the point where we will continue to provide services outside the city of Salisbury as always originally planned and promised. Second, the downtown master plan, I do understand what Mr. Taylor is saying. When you have a development that could all be housing on lot 1 and a parking garage on lot 11, the decision point was made by the developers to put the garage on part of lot 1 and add housing on lot 11. You build the garage based off of what makes the most sense for the design and the layout of the structure. So I would not say that is a variance, just a slight adjustment to the still intended purpose of that. Again, also master plans are guiding documents, not ironclad, so things can change as you move along, but still the spirit of the document is still intact with the plan of redeveloping and developing housing. To Mrs. Bratton's comment about the Transportation Traffic Committee, our transportation manager has returned from active duty, guard duty. He returned last week. We are having a conversation in the coming days. It'll be something that we are discussing to see if that is an option to bring back some form of a Transportation Traffic Committee. So more to come from that. I also mentioned I'd bring up a couple parking updates real quick. I've been talking about these in a couple different meetings with downtown business community and today again at GSC, so they're free to discuss. We will be, when we can get our software upgraded, we are going to be providing on all on-street parking on the pay stations. It will be an hour of free parking through the rest of the summer. So that is going to help out a lot of the retail and restaurant businesses. If you're trying to pop into a place, you will have free parking downtown. Parking garage will continue to be 2 hours of free parking through Labor Day. There will be an adjustment to the on-street parking pay stations where you can increase what has been a 2 hour maximum. That will be going up to a 4 hour maximum. So less visits to have to feed the meter. We also recommend that people continue to download the app. Using the app, you can actually punch it in and upgrade and update your payment and your time right from your phone so you don't have to run out to your vehicle. We are our software programmers who are helping us roll out the app. We'll be in town sometime later this summer to help people with the transition into more app-based parking. Two more things. A lot of people were concerned about safety and security leaving in the evening times. We are finishing up rolling out our ambassador program, but in the meantime, we are going to be contracting with a security company that will be helping in the evening times at peak times with additional eyes and ears in downtown, specifically around the parking garage. The intended goal is to set up essentially a safe ride with our golf cart that's there. People can call. We can pick you up from your restaurant, your bar, your place of employment, and drive you back to your car to help you feel safe when you're transporting. So a few different safety things that we're rolling out to make people feel very more comfortable utilizing our parking garages. A lot of this is part of our phase one master plan. We will also be introducing a phase two. The plan is to come before council on August 7th work session when we have a few more things ironed out with phase two to kind of talk about what we've implemented with phase one and what are the intended plans for phase two. So a lot going on, and if anybody's interested in more comments on that, I can do that. But that's all I have. I'd like to pass it over to The mayor.
Thank you, Andy. Just a few things. One, the kids are on vacation. We talked about this before. Please be very careful when you're driving. Watch out for them. Sometimes the little ones don't watch out for themselves. So it's up to us to take care of that. Next, everybody across the nation is experiencing rain that has been unheard of. And certainly Salisbury is no different than anyone else. Be careful when you're out driving in the heavy rain for street flooding. If you're on the bypass, please be careful of fishtailing. You don't need a lot of water to fishtail, and even with good tires. Next, donate blood. Angela will say that as well. We are still in a critical mode. So if you're capable of donating blood, please do so. And the last thing I said, last thing I want to say is we had a terrible incident that I referred to at the work session. And let's not forget and give prayers and condolences to the victims and their families. They need our support. And it's up to us to make sure that they get the support that they need. So if you can do anything for any of those families, and if you can't do anything physically, then say some prayers for them. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Ms. Jackson.
I would like to send my deepest condolences to the Maddox family. As I said last week, I do know that family. I knew that little boy. And I probably know the ones who did the shooting. And it's sad. It's truly sad. We're losing our kids either to death or to prison. And it's sinful, it's shameful that we're going through this. It hurts me to my heart because I love young people. So the community is trying to get together to do some things. I'm trying to raise money because I figure like we have to build a rapport with these young people. So what I'm doing is raising money for my nonprofit to take these kids this summer to Killing Pond to have fun. Have a barbecue and just have fun. Because we have to show these kids love. And some of them are not getting the love that is needed in their households or even in the community. So that is one project that I am working on myself with my nonprofit, Salisbury Advisory Council on Youth Activities. And all I'm doing is so far I've gotten $500, and I'm just hoping that people will just continue to donate funds to that to my organization. I do work in my community. I work very hard in my community, and I will continue to work hard in my community. Just Saturday coming, I'm doing a senior citizens cookout for all senior citizens. Anybody want to come? It's at the Billie Jean Jackson Park. You have to be 60 and older to attend.
Come on.
Yeah, Andy, you left out. But I'm doing this because I feel it's a need. Not only is it a need for the youth to have a good time, it's also a need for our seniors to have a great time as well. Our seniors are suddenly forgotten about, and I'm a senior myself. So I'm looking to do, everything is free. Everything, the whole menu is free. Actually, this money's coming out of my pocket, but it's a blessing to be able to do this for my seniors. So if you want to come, it's at the Billie Jean Jackson Park this Saturday, July the 15th, from 1 to 6 o'clock. We're going to have karaoke, music, raffles, and a whole lot of stuff. Come out and enjoy yourselves. I do Christmas as well. I do a Christmas dinner and gift giveaway. And last year, I can tell you, we had 270-something people at the Salvation Army, the Richard Hazel Youth Center, and we had a marvelous time. And this weekend, we're also going to have a marvelous time. So if you would like to come, you're welcome to come. Thank you.
Blake.
Just if you're healthy enough, please donate blood. We are in critical shortage. We continue to be in critical shortage. It is the summertime. There's a lot more accidents, especially in the beach. area. You never know when you're going to need it. One pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. So please make that appointment and donate some blood. Thank you. That's it.
Just echoing a bit on Jack and April's comments on the youths, and it is summertime, so I wanted to highlight, you know, a resource and an asset that we have here in our community in my district, which is the Newton Community Center. They offer free lunch programs, free youth programs, so I just encourage you all to please check it out. It's on the Salisbury website. I think it's salisbury.md/youth-programs, and you can sign up. Anyone is welcome, so please, I strongly encourage you all to check that out. It's a great way for kids to spend their time this summer, and it's for free. Additionally, just want to thank you all for coming out. Like I mention every week, we do our best to work when we get the feedback from our constituents and the community. So please keep coming out. Give us your feedback, because that's how we're going to find the best solutions for the city.
The only thing I got is it is starting to get hot, and I always try to advise Ms. Gibson, take regular breaks, drink plenty of fluids, and if it's over 90 degrees, you shouldn't be outside pulling weeds or anything in your yard. So just please make sure everybody stays safe in the hot weather so that we can get through the summer to the great fall weather and pumpkin spice and whatever else everybody loves. So with that, everyone, we are adjourned. Have a good and safe week.